Fanning Wentworth was not only the longest-serving provincial governor of New Hampshire, but of any colony in North America. And that's because he knew how to make people happy. And one way he did that was by naming many of the towns he granted around the time of 1763 in honor of influential men back in Britain. And so that's why Sandwich was named after, you guessed it, John Montague, the Earl of Sandwich. But Montague was more than just a guy who decided to one day put a slab of meat between two slices of bread. According to Plymouth State University history professor Marcia Schmidt Blaine, at that time, he was a considerable influence on our state.
Sandwich was someone who, over in England, would make sure that New Hampshire got preferential treatment when necessary, got the laws that they needed. New Hampshire had, as all colonies did, lobbyists who tried to make sure that they pleased certain people. Well, the Earl of Sandwich was one of them.
But Wentworth also knew how to make his friends in New Hampshire happy as well. So when he granted the land for Sandwich to a bunch of influential Exeter proprietors, he gave them more than the typical 6-mile by 6-mile plot of land.
They said, all we have are stones and high rocky cliffs that we can't, it's not arable land. And so he made the town larger. So I can imagine that these Exeter proprietors must have been some men of note. And they got not just a larger town, they got a humongous town, 10 by 10 miles.
And so Sandwich became one of the geographically largest towns in New Hampshire. But the town wasn't just big. By the early 19th century, it was the 6th largest in population. Joan Cook is a lifelong resident of Sandwich who's written several books on the town. She says the town grew for two reasons, decent farmland and the Sandwich Notch Road, which opened a trade route through the White Mountains.
It was a major north-south highway from Canada to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and they'd come down through with great loads of produce. There was talks of turkey drives. They'd roost in the trees at night, and it must have been quite exciting.
Because of this road, Sandwich became a thriving agricultural and industrial community, so much so that it was nearly considered to be the New Hampshire state capital. But by the mid-1800s, Sandwich took its first major hit. There was a new form of transportation shaping the state, the railroad. When officials began laying track routes up north, Marcia Schmidt Blaine says Sandwich was bypassed.
Imagine yourself as a farmer during that time. You now are going to have a much greater expense in getting your goods to market. As a matter of fact, the agricultural products coming from the Midwest cost less in Boston than goods from Sandwich. So we're looking at this town not knowing what to do at that point. They have been a major trade route, and now suddenly they're not. So that's the beginning of the big change for Sandwich.
The town needed to reinvent itself. Although the railroad had taken away Sandwich's agricultural vibrancy, residents say it left the town strikingly unspoiled. Plus, they had Squam Lake, and it was close enough to the White Mountains, and those giant farmhouses could hold a lot of people.
And so farmers began renting their bedrooms out, and they began to serve milk on a regular basis, give fresh produce. So they began to feed the tourist and house the tourist. And then gradually the tourists began buying up the lands that they were around, building new houses, buying up old farms.
Soon, Sandwich would become a summer mecca for travelers from all over the Northeast. Then more reinvention came through an effort led by Sandwich resident Mary Coolidge. Mrs. Coolidge noted that many of the women in town were particularly skilled in certain crafts, from hooked rugs to woolen sweaters to fancy pottery. According to New Hampshire historian Stuart Wallace, Coolidge saw the tourist as a perfect way to capitalize on these crafts.
And so what she did was she actually started to put these on display and created something called the Sandwich Home Industries, which ran during the summer. And it was really just a way for local people to show off their wares and to sell them to the tourists. You can come up and spend a delightful summer in New Hampshire and, by the way, take home one of these wonderful hooked rugs, a way to make a little extra money.
Later, Mary Coolidge would team up with a silversmith from Wolfboro named A. Cooper Ballantyne and form the League of New Hampshire Craftsmen, an organization that, in part, got its start in Sandwich. As the town moved towards its future as a tourist destination, it worked hard on maintaining its past. Sandwich Historical Society Director Adam Nudd Homeyer says townspeople began to do annual excursions, a tradition upheld every Old Home Week.
They started doing essentially auto tours around town, going through all the old houses, all the old cellar holes, and people would queue up at places around town and go out and visit these different sites when there was a guide to go with it. And then it was later sort of chronologed in what was known as a bulletin. And that's now for 94 years been a tradition.
This creation has resulted in one of the most diligently researched towns in New Hampshire, with nearly 8,000 pages written about Sandwich from these bulletins alone. The town's 250th celebration is just as extensive. There's a year's worth of activities, keepsakes that range from t-shirts to commemorative coins to a pewter holiday ornament. At the beginning of the year, a time capsule from the bicentennial was unearthed. And this December 28th, a new time capsule will be buried for future residents to dig up in another 50 years. There's no central theme to the Sester Centennial, and it seems like organizers of Sandwich want it that way. After all, the town has not had one central theme. It's changed with the times. And when the times change, citizens adapt and find their place. An idea that Adam Nuttholmeyer refers to as the Sandwich Vortex.
It pulls you in, and when coincidences start happening, you just pay attention. Because in Sandwich, it means something. And you just follow it. It's happened to so many people, I couldn't count them off. It's just the story of people going with the way the world works and making it work in Sandwich.
For New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Keith Shields.